So Lord, we thank you so much for Natalie. Thank you for her life. Thank you for the things that you have done in her life, that you've put into her heart. Thank you for this opportunity to hear what she has to say. And so we ask that your spirit fill her as she preaches this morning, and that you would speak to us of your heart and mind through her. In the name of Christ.
Thank you very much. It means a lot to have your support. And I wouldn't be here if you weren't here, so thank you. I'm honored to be up here this morning, and I think I'm a little bit excited, probably a little bit nervous too. But there's actually a big part of my heart that feels like, I don't know if I really want to be here today. I don't know if any of you know what day today is. It's Marathon Sunday. There's a big part of me that would rather be running, but it seems God has had other plans and ideas for me, and that's okay. I will choose to trust them. But yes, probably more importantly, today is Father's Day. So I want to wish you all a happy Father's Day, and yes, I said all of you a happy Father's Day. We all have had influence of fathers in our life in one way or another, good or bad. So a happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers, especially some of those who perhaps this is your first Father's Day. I think there's also a number of people here who have had influence in many people's lives and as a father figure, and perhaps you don't realize who your children have been, but I know there are many of you here who have influenced people's lives in that way. Mothers too. We wouldn't have fathers without mothers, so this is a day to celebrate mothers also, although it's not Mother's Day. So happy Father's Day, but for many people, Father's Day is not a happy day, and I do want to acknowledge that. There's a lot of pain that can come up in Father's Day. As I said, we all have fathers, and some of those have not been good experiences. Maybe we don't actually know our earthly fathers. Maybe they're no longer present in our life. Maybe we're single mothers longing for our children to have fathers. Maybe we've struggled with abusive relationships with our fathers. There's a lot of pain that can come up. A lot of negative emotion, and for many people, Father's Day is a hard day. So I do want to acknowledge that. But despite the pain and despite the struggle that Father's Day can be, I also want to assure you that we have a Father, and He is good. Let me say that again. We have a Father, and He is good. Amen. Yes, I am talking about God. And yes, I realize this is a risky thing to say. This is probably stirring up all sorts of emotions in people. Some people who are like, yes, and some people who are like, are you sure? What about this? But I want to say it again. We have a Father, and He is good. Now, we all have experiences with our dads, and I think some people have had more negative experiences than others, but I think for all of us, the way we've seen and experienced our fathers in our life has formed the way that we see and experience God, both good and bad. But we're all human, and there's no father who has been a perfect image of God as father, so that changes the way we see God. We often transfer our experiences of our own dads onto God. It's the negative and the positive, but I think for many of us, we've experienced the failings of our dads, and we expect God to fail us in the same ways. So I know the hesitation to look to God as Father, and I want to share a bit of my experience with my own dad growing up and how that has changed the way I've seen God and the struggle that I've had to go through. So growing up, I thought I lived in a pretty normal family. I grew up going to church, and both of my parents were present. And I don't think I realized how much my dad influenced my life until, as I was growing up, I would look around and compare my dad to other dads and be like, oh, maybe this isn't normal. So my dad was a doctor and very, very committed to his work. So he wasn't home a lot. He was absent a lot of the time. And along with that, he also struggled with depression majority of his adult life. So even when he was home, he was very emotionally distant and often isolated himself. So yeah, my dad was very distant in many ways, and I began to see God as being very distant, and I knew in my head that God loved me, and I knew in my head that my dad loved me, but I didn't have the experience of that love. And yeah, as a result, I didn't have a very strong relationship with my dad at all. And over the years, I began to hold a lot of bitterness and anger towards him. I had a lot of frustration. I knew depression was a factor, but it's hard to really understand what that's like unless you go through it yourself. So yeah, I held a lot of anger and bitterness towards him, and it was hard. I saw other friends who had close relationships with their dad, and I didn't know how to have that myself. And this continued on for the rest of my, for many years until I was 15. And this was after a particularly rough couple of months for my dad and his depression. And this was kind of at the peak of my frustration and anger towards him. He ended up committing suicide. And it was a tragic loss for a family. There's a lot of pain in it. But I can also say that God's grace and his peace was so, so present. It was the first time I really experienced God in my life in the form of his peace. And it was at that time that I first turned to God to be my father. I didn't have another option. I couldn't be left longing for my dad to change and be different because he was gone. And it was by God's grace that almost immediately I felt the anger and the resentment just lift off. But there was still a struggle. There was still a struggle to trust God as Father. And over the years, I've had my own battle with mental illness. I struggled with depression later on in high school, which led into an eating disorder. And through that struggle, I've realized the helplessness of depression, and I've grown to have compassion on my dad. And I've grown to love him and understand some of what he went through. And yeah, it's God's grace that I don't feel that anger anymore, but it's been a journey. And I understand the tension of a father who doesn't meet our needs and what we want in a father. I'm not the only one who understands this tension, though. I don't know if you've ever thought about Jesus. Jesus did not have an earthly father. I never really thought about this until preparing for this, but Joseph was not Jesus' dad. They did not share any DNA or there was no genetic similarity between the two. He may have been present as a father figure, but he was not his dad. And I think there's a lot of mystery in the scriptures in Jesus' childhood from when he was young until 30 and began his ministry. And I don't know what that would have looked like for Jesus to try and explain to his friends that, like, well, yeah, Joseph, he's not really my dad, but, you know, it was probably a struggle for him too. And yes, I think he knew, of course he knew God as Father. But I think there's something powerful when we learn to rely on God ultimately as Father. And it's clear in Jesus' life that God was Father. Jesus addresses God as Father. You can see it in the way he prays, in the way he teaches us to pray, our Father. Now, I don't think it's wrong to pray to God or Jesus or the Lord. I think that's all good, but I think there's something significant when we choose to acknowledge God as Father. And for me, I remember the day I was like, yeah, I think I should pray to God, but pray to God as Father. And it didn't really feel, there was discomfort in it. Like, to actually address God as Father, it was hard, and there was this tension in it. But I think in my head, and slowly in my heart, I began to realize, no, like, this is who God is, and I'm going to acknowledge it. It's very clear in Scripture that God is Father, and that is how he wants us to see him. The Psalms are filled with verses. Psalm 68, verse 5, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling place. He is our Father, whether we have a father or not. Whether we have a father for our children or not, he is our Father, just as he was Jesus' Father. Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Maybe we haven't experienced the compassion of a father. Maybe we've longed to experience the compassion of a father, or maybe we've seen other fathers have compassion on their kids. But if you can imagine the compassion that a father should have, that's just a glimpse of God's compassion for us. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We are his children. That is who he is to us. He is our Father, and we are his children. Now, this isn't a complete list of all the verses that talk about God as Father, but there's one passage in specific that I want to look at this morning, and it's found in Matthew 7, verses 9 to 11. So if you want, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to these verses, feel free. So Matthew 7, 9 to 11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I'll read it once more. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, there's some strong language in here. I don't know if you see, like, though you are evil. Now, I would never go so far as to say that my dad was evil. Perhaps some of you have had such abusive relationships that you do believe that and experience that, and that is valid. But I think the point is to say that no father here is perfect. No human is perfect. And yeah, in many ways, our fathers have failed us, and I want to assure you there is grace. No father is expected to be perfect. But despite these failings, I would hope that some of us at least have some positive experiences of our fathers. Growing up before the depression got severe with my dad, I have some memories of playing with him and, you know, positive memories. And those are the ones that I want to hold on to. Over the years, I've seen the goodness in my dad, and I've seen that, you know, the way he worked, that was how he knew to give love to us. That was how he knew to show us that love. And while the negative experiences of my dad have shaped the way I viewed God, it's also shaped positive views of God, too, and I saw how my dad was a faithful provider for a family, and in many ways, I've grown to trust God to provide in those ways too. But even with the good, there's still a lot of struggle. There's still a lot of disappointment. There's still a lot of failures that we feel and express. Which of you, if your son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, this idea of approaching God and asking him to give me good gifts, that's a struggle for me. Growing up, I was actually afraid to approach my dad. I wouldn't talk to him. I would talk to him, but for me to initiate a conversation was rare. I have one memory where I had the courage to do so, but I would sooner go to my mom, and I would say, Mom, can you ask Dad if this? Mom, can you ask Dad about this? The idea to trust him and go close enough to ask him for something was hard. And yeah, because we didn't have that close relationship, I couldn't trust him. I didn't feel free to approach him. And there was a lot of disappointment. He disappointed me in many ways. And that's caused me to distrust God. And I've struggled a lot with fear of disappointment. I have these hopes and dreams and, well, I probably shouldn't hope too much because, you know, I probably won't get it. And, you know, I expect God to disappoint me in the same way my dad has. And yet he asks us to come and ask him to give good gifts. Now, I mentioned this morning that I would rather be running. That is one of the gifts I've asked God for repeatedly. Through the eating disorder that I struggled with, I was told I would never be able to run in the same way that I once did. For years, I've loved running, and I've seen it as a gift from God and a joy that he's given me. So when I was told that you wouldn't be able to run, I thought, well, like, I don't think you know my God. So I was determined to run, and I was determined to run farther and faster than I'd ever had before. And over the years, I have been able to run again. And it's been a joy, but it's been a slow process. And I've struggled with several injuries, several seasons of training ending in injury. And some years it's been harder and more disappointing than others. And that's what happened this year as well. I struggled with an injury and was not able to run. And yeah, there's a big part of me that wants to be bitter. You know, yesterday I saw the signs going up on the street and like, no parking on Sunday, special event. And then this morning waking up and like, oh yeah, there they are running by my apartment. Yeah, I'm tempted to feel angry and bitter and ask God, why? Why haven't you given this to me? But at the same time, I trust him. I trust that he will give me good gifts. And this doesn't necessarily mean that we get everything that we ask for, or we get everything that we want, or that we get it in our timing, but we can trust that he will give us what is good. Now, there are ways God has gone beyond what I could have imagined or asked for, but there are still things that I'm left questioning and wondering why. And I have a very distinct memory when we were in Nepal a few years ago, and this passage was being used for something, I'm not even sure what. And I remember just sitting there in tears asking God, like, why? Why have you given me a stone? I felt like God had given me a stone. And I can't even explain what that stone was or articulate it, but I was just left with this feeling of disappointment. And our disappointments are valid. I think God doesn't want us to pretend like we don't feel that. I think he wants us to acknowledge those disappointments and bring them to him. But through that, he's still inviting us to ask and to trust him. Trust him with our desires. We're invited to ask and trust God for the things that we need, for bread, for fish, for food, for shelter, the necessities of life. But it's very clear here that the Father will give us good gifts. Now, gifts are not often necessities. They're often above and beyond what we actually need. So I want to highlight this. Gifts are not necessities, but God wants us to ask him to give us good gifts. Not just what we need, but what we want too. God actually cares about our desires. Just as a father cares about what their kids want. They may not always get what they want in the time that they want it, but they do care. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." What are those things that you desire, that you want God to give you? I encourage you to ask him, to approach him and to trust him, that he will give you what is good. Even if it's not what we expect, we can know that it will be good. I've come to realize that God knows me better than I know myself, and there are times where maybe I'm not asking for the right things, or maybe what I'm asking for isn't actually the heart of my desire. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." And I've realized he knows me better than I know myself. So there are things that he gives me that sometimes go beyond what I think and beyond what I ask, but I can trust him to give me what is good. So I want to assure you again that we have a Father, and he is good, and he will give us good gifts. A few weeks ago in church, we were singing the song, King of My Heart. I think it's written by John Mark McMillan. But there's a line that goes, "You are good, you are good, you are good." And we were singing it over and over and over again. And I was thinking about having to speak this morning, and I was overcome with this emotion, and I wasn't really sure why. I was like, what is this about? And I think a part of it was because I realized, like, oh yeah, God is good. And I actually believe this, and I actually trust this. But then I realized that it wasn't just that. It was thinking about having to talk about my dad this morning. And I remember thinking, I don't want you to think that he was a bad father. I think growing up, there were many times I thought he was a bad father. But now, I realize, like, oh, no, I actually think that my dad was a good father. Despite his failings, despite the disappointments that I struggled with, God has shown me, by his grace, the goodness that my dad had. And as I've said, I've gained a lot of compassion and a lot of love for him, and I think God has graced me with bringing people into my life to show me the Father heart of God, to show me a glimpse of his true love for us. Despite the weakness and failings of people, despite the weakness and failings of our own fathers. And maybe for you, Father's Day is hard because you are a father and you're filled with overwhelming emotion of feeling inadequate, and you can see the ways that you have failed your own children, but I want to assure you that God is good, and he will show his goodness. So I think one thing on my heart this morning is also to acknowledge the fathers that we do have in our community, the fathers that have given us a glimpse of God's heart for us. I think if you feel compelled to share with somebody the ways that they've changed your heart towards God, tell them. We need to acknowledge the ways that people have been created in God's image to strengthen them and to encourage them. So I hope this is appropriate, but there are a few people here who I want to thank for being a glimpse of God's heart for me. I don't know if they're here. Is Richard here? Richard Sinclair? There he is. Richard, I don't know if you know this, but my dad was also named Richard. Yeah. And I think from the day I met you, I had a sense of God saying, like, Richard has a father heart, and Richard has the love that your father couldn't express. And it's so obvious the love that you have for your children and your grandchildren. And I think Richard is a glimpse of God's heart for us. Kenny, I saw you hiding in the corner there. Kenny, whenever your children come up in conversation, whether it's a picture or talking about them, it's your face just exudes this love. See, look at that smile. That's God's face for us. That's his delight in us. And Kenny, I think you are a gift to our community, showing us the love of a father. There are more people, and I know many people are coming to mind for you, so I want to encourage you to share, to encourage those who have been a glimpse of God's heart for you. If you want to come up and share publicly, you can, but if you want to just, you know, during ministry time, just go and, like, tell somebody the way that they've impacted you, I encourage you to do so. So this is one invitation I sensed this morning from God, to celebrate and honor the fathers that we do have here. But again, I don't wanna pretend that, like, oh yeah, like, we've struggled, but, you know, it's Father's Day, be happy. Like, I understand there is a lot of pain. And I think God's invitation to us is that he wants us to experience his healing, his love and his presence in our life, whatever that may look like for you, whether you're longing to experience the love of a father, whether you're longing to be able to trust in God's goodness, and maybe even just having the courage to call God Father. Maybe, like me, you feel a lot of anger and bitterness towards your dad. And maybe you want a release from that. Maybe it's been a very abusive relationship and you just need healing. Maybe you're a mother and you're longing for your children to have a dad. Maybe there's a loss of relationship that you want restored. Maybe you're a father who hasn't been able to see their kids. Perhaps they've been taken by CFS. Whatever it is, I invite you to come, and I invite you to ask God for what you're longing for. And I believe that there's grace. I believe God has grace for all of our situations. Maybe you feel so much anger and bitterness, you think, like, no, like, I don't want to get rid of this. Like, it's like a righteous anger. And it takes time, but healing is possible. I never would have imagined that I would have thought of my dad with so much love and compassion. Growing up, I did not have that. But I believe God's grace goes beyond the failings of our dads, beyond our own failings as parents. So I invite you to come and to ask God. Feel free to approach him. You don't have to be afraid. He's a good father. So I think we have people to pray for people this morning. If people from the ministry team want to come up, people who are willing to pray for others, I would love to pray for anybody, whatever it is that's on your heart, even if it has nothing to do with what I shared this morning. Feel free to come.